Today, we welcome Stephen Rhodes, president of Passaic County Community College, which serves over 13,000 students on four campuses in New Jersey. Passaic is one of more than 700 community colleges that have received federal grants known as TACCT, T-A-A-C-C-C-T, the U.S. Department of Labor's Trade Adjustment Assistance Community College and Career Training Grant Program. TACCT helps community colleges and other eligible institutions of higher education expand and improve their ability to deliver education and career training programs that can be completed in 2 years or less, and prepare dislocated and other adults for employment in high-wage, high-skill occupations. As part of the TACCT grant, Passaic County Community College leads the Northeast Resiliency Consortium, a seven-college, multi-state consortium that works to help students and colleges develop the resiliency they need to thrive in the face of rapid economic and environmental change. The NRC helps trade-impacted students build their capacity to adapt well in the changing labor market and provide access to college to gain skills, competencies, and credentials that lead to family-sustaining wage careers. Dr. Rhodes, it's great to be able to talk with you about what's happening at Passaic Community College and the impact of TACCT. So let's jump into some of the things we have for you today. You're doing a lot of innovative work around student success at Passaic County Community College. Why do you think Passaic has been so successful at creating innovation and openness to change?
Well, because we're being realistic about what we can accomplish. It's understanding the fact that we're working within a system that is going to be slow to change. We're working within a system where, hey, it's going to be tough. So another good example, when we got involved with Achieving the Dream, and then we got involved with looking in developmental education reform, one of the things we took a look at is we really looked at the data. We looked at our lowest level of English as a second language. So we were finding that students who were being put into this lowest level, unfortunately, rarely were making it out of that level. So after, you know, and shame on us, it took us a long time till we really figured out this wasn't working. So what did we do? We said, you know what? We're going to move this out of this way of teaching it. And we're going to take these 200 students each year who are taking this lowest level, and we're going to move them over to our continuing education side. And we're going to create a different type of program for them, a much more intensive program. Guess what happened? To the federal government, it looked like an enrollment dropped here at the college. Even our auditors made a note of it when they did our audit. It looks like your enrollment's dropping at the college. Fact is, our enrollment never dropped. We're still teaching them. This was an incredibly positive initiative that we took, and it is working. This is a really positive thing. But we really had to fight some battles here in order to get this done, because it's really working against the system.
What else has helped you innovate and create change at the college?
One of the things that makes things a little easier here is we've got some very cooperative people, and that helps. We've got people who are willing to not put up barriers to getting things done, and that's not true at every institution. So our faculty are bargain collectively. They're unionized, and they have a contract. And their contract very specifically lays out their terms and conditions of employment and, you know, very specifically says what they can and cannot do. And truthfully, if they stuck to it religiously, we wouldn't get a lot of stuff done around here. To be honest, it's the kind of thing that, you know, if there wasn't some flexibility there, it would be very, very difficult. They could have seen what we did in English as a second language being a real threat. Yeah. Because truthfully, it was potentially eliminating jobs. And at another institution, they would have fought that move. Instead of fighting it here, they thought it was a great idea. They thought it was the right thing to do. So again, it is trying to build a culture and an atmosphere where, you know, we're doing the right thing for the students we're trying to serve here. You know, it's really keeping focused on the mission. But again, working within those things and it building that level of trust. You know, it's really understanding that, hey, we're all here for the right thing. You know, next week we'll have a convocation at the college, just the one day a year where we kind of get together and, you know, talk, and we'll take the entire day to really talk about our goals and talk about why we're here. You know, what we're trying to do. And we're going to talk about why we're here. and really set the tone. And it's a really important day for the college. You know, this is a day you got to be on campus because it's a bonding day. It's a day to bond, you know, not only with each other, but bond with the institution. It's the day where we kind of all get on the same page. And that's important because this stuff isn't easy. You know, change isn't easy. And when you make a decision like we did in ESL and the hundreds of other small decisions and big decisions that we have to make, there has to be that trust in the institutions to make these things happen.
One of the areas of change for Passaic and other community colleges is around aligning the curriculum with employer needs in order to help students get good-paying, high-demand jobs. How have you navigated that change?
You still have folks, you know, here who are went through a more traditional liberal arts type environment who don't understand necessarily the tie to employment or the tie to employers or what students are looking for, why students are coming here and what they're looking, you know, to get out of it. And just in my almost 30 years here, I've seen, you know, some there's faculty who've been here longer than I have. And, you know, I've seen their transition through the year. And I saw some, you know, who were diehard, traditional liberal arts type folks who would have absolutely scoffed at the idea that we would be in any way trying to do anything to cater to employers' whims or anything like that. That, you know, we're here to deliver a liberal arts education to our students and ensure that these students, you know, have a basis for lifelong learning and all this and that. And they get it now. While they still think some of these other things are important, they understand that there's more to it than that. And that's a big deal.
It sounds like what you're describing is at the heart of the work of the Northeast Resiliency Consortium, where you're working to bring together longstanding and newer approaches to community college education.
The whole concept of the resiliency competencies and stuff for the modern students are important. This is our modern student today. Prior learning assessment. I'm very excited about that for our institution. If you look at our catalog 30 years ago, we had, you know, a page on prior learning assessment in it. We didn't call it that, but we've always had policies on it. It's not something we're good at. I am hoping now we become good at it. And I'm hoping now it is something that we're really able to serve students a lot better.
What have you learned about formalizing credit for prior learning and doing prior learning assessment in a more systematic way?
Well, I think we've become better at it. I think one of the things that we've done over the past couple of years is that every course now has learning outcomes. That's not something we had 20 years ago. You know, that we have learning outcomes specifically put on every syllabus. We used to have just what you, you know, what you did in every course. Here's what we expect you to master from this course. Here are the learning outcomes for the course. Now, so that makes it a little easier when you have learning outcomes to really say, you know, to come up with what would be the equivalency of what we expect you to get, you know, if you're going to be able to assess what your prior learning is.
What have you learned about making the most of grant opportunities like TAC?
One of the interesting things we learned during this, we've been very fortunate at this institution. We've been blessed with being able to have several grants, and not only the TAC grant, but, you know, we've had several Title V grants and STEM grants that have really been able to do a lot to build the institution's capacity. That's great. But one of the things we also learned, and when the TAC grant came on top of this, and when the TAC grant came, it was probably at that moment, we had more large grants that we've ever had in our history. And truthfully, the realization came to us that, okay, we're at a point in time, we have got to make sure that we are really, I'm going to use this term in the most positive way, exploiting these opportunities for all that they are worth. We started having meetings on exploiting our grant opportunities, you know, basically form the committee on grants around here and to try and figure out what is the best way of taking advantage. And truthfully, how can we create a synergy between these grants? Because some of them had similar purposes. They were working on, there's going to be some overlap, you know. Obviously, the success of our students was a common theme of all of the grants that we had. So, you know, you're going to have some overlap here between these things. And, you know, we started convenings where we were having all the grants reporting out to each other, talking about what everybody's working on.
You first began putting the various grants in dialogue with each other beginning 2 years ago at the convocation. Is there anything you would have done differently to make the most of all the different grants you received around the same time?
What I do differently, I would have started that even earlier. That is really hard. Really taking advantage of all of these opportunities and making the most of these. They all have a finite period that you're working in. You apply for these grants. Typically, it's the third week of September that I'll get a call from our congressman who tells us, congratulations, you're getting the grant. And of course, you know, the grant starts October 1st. So the clock starts October 1st on spending this sum of money. So all of a sudden, you have to start mobilizing. You have no staff. You have no infrastructure. You have nothing. So mobilizing on these grants, if you're lucky, it's 4 to 5, 6 months till you're at least somewhat operational on these things. But you get you make the most of what you got.
Now that the first two rounds of TAC are finished and the third and fourth are ending soon, what is important to consider about sustaining the work of the TAC grants?
Changing culture is the hardest thing to do with an institution and the most important thing to do with the institution. When we look at things like a PLA, if we truly have meaningful reform of our PLA practices over time, and if we really build capacity and do that, you know, that's something that will affect this institution forever.
What advice would you give to colleagues at other colleges about building a culture of innovation and really embracing institutional change?
Well, it's understanding the culture of your institution. You really can't do anything if you don't understand the culture of your institution. It's understanding that change doesn't happen quickly, and change doesn't happen easily, and you can't force it. It's got to kind of be a natural process. You have to understand it. You have to understand that there are forces out there that are going to make it difficult. There are just forces that we can't change. And there's things that are going to frustrate you. I wasn't happy when people said, your enrollment's going down. No, it's not going down. We made some positive change by moving some students from one program to another. But, you know, so you got to get over that. You know, I had to explain it to my board of trustees, and they said, that makes sense. But you have to explain these things. And, you know, part of it is being here for 20 years like I am helps a little. You're a little more confident when you're pretty secure in what you're doing. And it's tougher for a new president or tougher, you know, for a new administration. I'm very fortunate that I've got a seasoned administration here who are also, you know, very confident in what they're doing and are trusted by the folks who work for them, and that helps at an institution. But, you know, you've got to really understand your institution, and forcing change never works. As important as it is, forcing change never works. You got to bring the institution along, and that just comes by showing people what's going on. And, you know, data, research are incredibly important, and it's powerful. It's incredibly powerful. And building your research capacity at your institution is very important. And once you've built your research capacity, showing people how to do it, showing people how to understand data and research is something that's important. We spent a lot of time on that here. We spent a lot of time going through this first level of ESL and showing what the results were. And everybody really understood. There was no denying what we were doing wasn't working. And there was, again, no finger pointing. You know, we could have just said, hey, faculty, what have you been doing all these years? No, it wasn't. You know, it was just, administration, why'd you let this happen for all these years? No, it wasn't. You know, there was no finger pointing. It was just, hey, we've got this situation. Now what are we going to do about it? And if you approach it from that standpoint, you can move forward.
Thank you, Steve Rose, president of Passaic County Community College in New Jersey. Listen to the other conversations about the impact of TAC with community college presidents in this podcast series. The U.S. Department of Labor implements the TAC program in partnership with the Department of Education. $1.9 billion in grants were awarded under the TAC program. For more information, visit taacct.org.